Good morning.
Good morning.
It is great to be with you this morning. I appreciate your presence here so that we can worship God together. Several announcements to run through very quickly. Miss Rita shot me a text. She had forgot to tell Robert this. Lainey Stanley, which that is Stephen and Bobby's daughter, she has had the flu this past week. And so if you will keep Lainey in your prayers. And also Wade and Wyatt Stanley, which that's Matt and April's sons, they've had the strep. And so if you will remember them in your prayers with the others, I'm sure that they would appreciate that. Light the fire. It is rapidly approaching. I need, if you have a child ages 13 to 23 that is planning on going, I need those applications by Wednesday. And so $45 application by Wednesday. Also, you might have noticed in the scrolling announcements, I always offer this to members of the congregation if they're interested. If you would like a Light the Fire t-shirt, but you're not going to the event or and not a counselor at the event, but you want one of the shirts, they are $20. Unless you're getting 2X or 3X, those are $22. And so they're long sleeve black shirts this year. It's got a Heroes of Faith logo on the front, which is the theme for this year. And so if you're interested in that, there's a sign-up sheet on the white table out in the foyer, and need you to sign up by Wednesday as well, because I'll be turning that order in on Thursday. Several of you have asked about the rest of the family, which Harrison's sitting right out there. Reagan this morning, in fact, all of us planned on being here this morning, and Reagan and I were sitting on the couch about 7:30, and she jumped up suddenly, and I said, "What's wrong?" And she said, "I'm about to be sick." And she made it about 7 feet and was good to her word. And so at that point, I said, "I love you, but you're not going anywhere today." And so her and Micah are at the house. And so if you'll say a prayer for them, I would appreciate that. One final thing, let me say thanks to everyone. Calls, cards, text messages, all of those things. I appreciate Mr. David on Friday when made the decision that there was no way I was going to be able to preach on Sunday. He did a ton of legwork behind the scenes in order to get someone lined up, which, by the way, I mentioned this Wednesday night. Y'all came out on the better end of this deal. I mean, y'all wound up with B.J. Clark here for Sunday. So I had Andy, who likes to poke fun at me about the fact that I preach where Brother Taylor preached for so long. He said, "Not only are you there with Brother Taylor, but then you have B.J. Clark coming and filling in for you when you're sick." And so I told him, I said, "That had nothing to do with me. That had everything to do with Mr. David." But I appreciate so much everything that was done. I appreciate Mr. Joel. He helped clean the building up some. And so just everyone who stepped in and helped out, thank you very much for all of that. This past Thursday was a day set aside by our nation as Thanksgiving Day. A day many times of being with family and friends, and normally a good bit of food associated with it as well. But also, as the name implies, it is a day of giving thanks. And you know, sometimes depending on the year that you've had, depending on life circumstances that may have occurred and things that have happened around you, some years are harder than others to be thankful for. There was a Scottish minister, Alexander White. He was known for his uplifting prayers in the pulpit. And he was known for this because he was always able to find something to be thankful for. But one Sunday morning, the weather was just horrible outside. And there was one church member that thought to himself, "Certainly the preacher, he's not going to be able to think of anything for which to be thankful for on a wretched day like today." But much to his surprise, however, White began his prayer by saying, "We thank thee, O God, that it's not always like this." And maybe that's the year that you've had. But even in the worst of circumstances, there are always things that we can be thankful for. The Bible speaks often about this idea of being thankful. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 118 and verse 1, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever." Paul wrote often of how he was thankful for the congregations that he served. He would say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, "In everything give thanks, For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. But does our thankfulness extend to more than just one day a year? Does our thankfulness move past an attitude of gratitude that is expressed with mere words to actions of gratitude in our daily lives? You know, we understand this concept in a lot of arenas of life. If we truly want to express our thankfulness to someone, many times we don't just tell them, right? But we show them by doing something for them or by giving something to them. Actions, not just words. If we're truly thankful, then that attitude will be expressed by what we do. Jesus illustrates this very idea in Luke chapter 17. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you'll turn over there, in Luke chapter 17, Luke records an event that occurred involving Jesus that illustrates so clearly for us this idea of thankfulness includes action. Beginning in verse 11 of Luke 17, "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' When he saw them, he said to them, 'Go show yourselves to the priest.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed." During this time, these men suffered from the disease of leprosy. There was no cure for leprosy in the known world during this time. And it was a disease that would ultimately lead to death. But also it was a disease that could be easily transmitted to other people. And so as a result, if a person was found to be a leper, they were sent out from among the general public. There were leper colonies that would spring up where these people would congregate. But they would have to leave their family, their friends, everything that they knew. And so when you consider the position that these men were in, they were in a hopeless position. But yet Jesus had mercy on them. Jesus cleansed them. In verse 15, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks." Notice the giving of thanks was accompanied by this man's actions. He returned to Jesus. He fell at his feet. And he praised God as a result. Jesus adds this phrase, "And he was a Samaritan." So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Notice Jesus asked the question here, where are the other 9? Thus illustrating once again for us that the one that was thankful was the one who acted upon his thankfulness. Keeping those thoughts in mind, I want us to notice this morning, 3 ways in which we can give thanks to God. God isn't simply looking for lip service, friends. He's looking for life service. 3 ways in which we can show thanks and serve Him. Number 1, I want to talk about giving Him thanks by giving. If I'm truly thankful for God and all that He's done for me, then I will give to Him. Now, anytime you mention give from the pulpit, people automatically think about the offering. And that is part of giving to God, an important part. It's part of our worship. We're blessed, we're prospered by God, and so we should give in response to that. But I want to suggest to you 2 other areas where we can give to God that are important as well. First off, we can give of our time. We can give of our time. If everyone spent an hour a week, not talking about an hour a day, talking about an hour a week, you can break that up over 6 days and 10 minutes a day and have a day off. You can do it over 4 days, 15 minutes, and get several days off. But however you split it up, an hour a week, spend in visiting and calling or texting someone and sending a card and studying the Bible with someone, think about how much would be accomplished. How much good would be done for the cause of Christ just in sacrificing that 1 hour. Think about time spent in worship. Worshiping God every opportunity that we have. The Bible study that we had at 9:30, the service that we'll have tonight at 6, our midweek Bible study at 7. If we're thankful to God and we're thankful for all that He's done for us, then surely we want to be here to take advantage of those times to worship and to study together. God gives us time and ability to do so many things. The least we can do is devote some of that time back to Him. But not only giving of our time, secondly, we can give of our talents. Everyone has something that they can do that can be used to advance the cause of Christ. I don't care who you are, I don't care what age you are. If you're a Christian, then there is something that you can do to advance the gospel. Maybe you can teach or preach. Maybe lead singing. Maybe you're good at organizing things and you can organize events. Maybe you know just the right words to write in a card. Maybe you're good at encouraging people when they're down and you can give calls and send text messages to do that. All of us have talents. All of us have abilities that can be used for God. If we're truly thankful for God, then we're going to act upon that thankfulness. We're going to give of our material blessings, our time, and our talents. But number two, giving Him thanks by converting. Giving Him thanks by converting. If I'm truly thankful for Christ, if I'm truly thankful for Him coming to this earth, for Him living a perfect life, for Him sacrificing that life on the cross for me, then if I'm not yet a Christian, and I'm truly thankful for Him, then I'm going to become one. I'm going to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. In Hebrews 11:6, we read that without faith it is impossible to be pleasing to God. For he that comes to Him must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Jesus Himself would say in John 8:24, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." Based upon that belief, we'll repent, we'll turn from sin. In Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 and 29, Jesus gives us a definition of what repentance is. He said, "But what do you think? A man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward he regretted it and went." Notice this man came to his son. He said, "Go work in my vineyard." What did the son do? The son said, "I'm not going to do it." But then the Bible says, afterward he regretted, the New King James. The word there in the Greek is the same word translated repent. In other places, afterwards, he repented and went. What did he do? He changed his mind, right? And that change of mind, what did it do? It led to a change in action. Y'all, that's repentance. I changed my mind about sin, and as a result, I changed my actions. Luke 13:3, Jesus said, "I tell you no, but unless you repent, you all likewise perish." Paul in the city of Athens in Acts 17:30 said, "Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." So I need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I need to turn away from sin, and I need to confess that belief before men. Romans 10:9 and 10 says that if you confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We see an example of that confession in Acts chapter 8 when Philip is speaking with the Ethiopian nobleman. And you recall that as they're traveling along, the man sees water and he says, "See, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip told him, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And the man responded, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And friends, just like that man, we need to be baptized. So many verses that we can note, we'll note just the words of Jesus. Mark 16:16, Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Friends, that's how someone becomes a Christian, not according to Justin, but according to the God of heaven. And if I'm thankful for Christ, truly thankful, and I'm not a Christian, then friends, I'm become one. That brings us to our third and final point. Giving Him thanks by living faithfully. I don't know about you, but as I think about things that I'm thankful for, God's forgiveness definitely ranks towards the top. Just think for a moment about the state that we were in. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." As our instructors used to tell us, you can't get any aller than all. Each and every one of us of an incountable age has sinned. And Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death. So here's the situation that we're in. We've all sinned, and as a result of our sin, we all deserve death. But the rest of Romans 6:23 says, "But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Think about where we'd be without His forgiveness. Still in sin. Still a servant of self and Satan. Bound for an eternity in hell with no way to avoid it. But that doesn't have to describe us. Because forgiveness is offered. Because Jesus gave His life upon the cross. Because He was buried and rose again the third day. Because that blood was shed for you and for me. We can have the forgiveness of our sins. We can have that hope of an eternal home in heaven. Friends, one of the most contradictory things that a Christian can do is to be forgiven of so much and then live unfaithfully. To have God wipe that slate clean and then to turn right around and walk away from Him. Brother, we need to take our salvation seriously. In Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, Joshua had an attitude of seriousness when it came to serving God. He said, "And if it seems evil to you," he's addressing the children of Israel, "to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose lands you dwell." What are you going to do, Joshua? "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua said, "You can serve the idols that your fathers served on the other side of the Jordan River. You can serve the idols that you find in the land on this side of the Jordan River." But, a word of contrast. He's contrasting what they might choose to do with what he's going to do. "But for me and my house, we're going to serve God." Brethren, that needs to be our attitude. That needs to be our conviction. In Acts 5:29, Peter and the other apostles addressing the Sanhedrin said we ought to obey God rather than men. Brethren, if we truly are thankful for all that's been done for us, then living faithfully should flow from that thankfulness. I tell the young people in the teen class all the time that faith is always coupled with action. If we're truly faithful, then we're going to act on that faithfulness. In chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews points that out so clearly. By faith, Abel offered. By faith, Noah prepared an ark. By faith, Abraham obeyed, went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, Abraham offered up Isaac. By faith, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith, he forsook Egypt. He kept the Passover. He passed through the Red Sea. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. In verse 32, and what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were slain in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Think about all they did. All they went through. All they suffered. And sometimes it's an inconvenience to come sit for an hour in a padded pew. Brethren, shame on us if that's our attitude. After writing all of that, the Hebrew writer says, therefore we also. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Friends, if you and I are truly thankful, then we'll give thanks to him by living faithfully. Two friends met each other on the street one day. One looked just all sorts, almost on the verge of tears. And his friend walked up and he said, man, what's wrong? What's happened to you? And the fellow said, let me tell you. 3 weeks ago, my uncle died and he left me $40,000. And his friend said, man, that's a lot of money. And he said, yeah, but it doesn't stop there. You see, 2 weeks ago, a cousin I never knew died and left me $85,000. The guy's like, adding it up in his head, $125,000. He says, it sounds to me like you've been really blessed here. He said, but you don't understand. Last week, my great aunt passed away and I inherited almost $250,000. Now the man's friend was really confused. He said, why do you look so sad and at the point of tears? And he said, this week, nothing. Now you and I would look at that guy and think, this man is an idiot. But have we not been blessed with things far more valuable? Brethren, we have an inheritance far better. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, Peter writes, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, and undefiled, and one that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. If I'm truly thankful this morning, I'm going to act on that thankfulness. If I'm thankful for God, then I'm going to give of myself, my time, my talents, my material blessings. If I'm thankful for Christ, then I'm going to be converted if I'm not a Christian. And if I'm thankful for forgiveness and I am a Christian, then I'm going to live faithfully every day. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15, Paul wrote, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." Friend, have you taken advantage of that gift this morning? If you're not a Christian, will you become one by doing the things that we talked about? If you are a Christian, you've let ingratitude take you away from God, come back home. On the front of the bulletin, I put this poem by an unknown author. "Count your blessings instead of your crosses. Count your gains instead of your losses. Count your joys instead of your woes. Count your friends instead of your foes. Count your smiles instead of your tears. Count your courage instead of your fears. Count your full years instead of your lean. Count your kind deeds instead of your mean. Count your health instead of your wealth. Count on God instead of yourself." Brethren, let's not just say we're thankful, let's show it. Are you giving Him thanks? If you need to respond to heaven's invitation, we'd ask you to come right now as we stand and sing.